Many online video games today give players the option of texting and talking to each other. It makes gaming more social and interactive. But for female gamers, it may bring harassment, sexual threats, taunts, and come-ons. A series of incidents this year have sparked a discussion in the online gaming community about sexual harassment, real, not virtual. New York Times reporter Amy O'Leary wrote about the problem this week. With more women playing video games online, there's a growing debate over the gaming culture, who owns that culture, and whether it needs to change. Amy O'Leary joins us in a moment. Female gamers, have you been harassed? Call us at 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org, and you can join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Amy O'Leary joins us now from our bureau in New York. Welcome to the program, Amy.
Thank you so much for having me, Tom. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So are you a gamer yourself?
Not for a long time. I think the last time I was playing games, I was probably 12 or 13 years old.
Back in the Pac-Man days, I guess.
Even a little, Nintendo. I bought my own Nintendo when I was 12.
But women are playing more video games. Women are making up a bigger section of game players these days, huh?
That's absolutely right. And while there's some debate around the numbers, in all segments of gaming, people who are active video game players, report more women at places like conferences and at tournaments and online.
And, one of the things that was interesting to me about this is that along with online video game playing, there's a whole world of communication between the players. Can you explain what that experience is like and what kind of communication is going on here?
Absolutely. One of the things that has really changed how online gaming has worked is in the last 10 years is the introduction of voice chat. So if a player sits down to play an online game with lots of other people, they put on a headset and a microphone, and they can start talking to anyone else they might be playing with. Now, this can be great because it can add a lot of fun to a game. People can plan strategies together. But sometimes, women who get on with voice chat find that the minute that their voice sort of reveals their gender, they then become targets for harassment or come-ons or threats or taunts strictly because they're female.
Yeah, because otherwise, if they just went with a screen name, they could sort of keep their gender secret.
And a lot of women do that. They will choose avatars and screen names that don't give away the fact that they might be a female player. But, voice chat is one of those areas where you can't really hide your gender. And so some women either don't use voice chat altogether and miss out on those features of gaming, or they find that these communities can be too hostile for them and they stop playing in those communities altogether.
But it's not just voice chat, is it? I mean, one of the women that you mentioned, the first woman that you mentioned in your piece was actually competing in person with teammates in a video game tournament. So she had her fellow players right around her in the room.
Yes, this was a fairly disturbing incident for most people who've seen the video of it. But there's a woman, a regular competitive gamer, Miranda Pacozdi, who was playing in a fighting game video tournament where two characters battle it out with each other. And what happened to her over the course of 6 days at this tournament was her own coach began asking her questions about things like her bra size and her boyfriend. He threatened to smell her on camera and eventually did. And he trained the tournament's web camera on parts of her body. Eventually, she found this so difficult to deal with that she committed kind of virtual suicide and forfeited the tournament by walking straight into a competing player so she'd be killed off.
And the whole point of your piece is that these are less and less isolated incidents. You've identified a series of incidents that all reflect in one way or another sexual harassment of female gamers.
Yes, and it's not to say that, harassment in gaming and trash talk in gaming has certainly been something that's been around for years. That's not new. But what we've started to see over the last 6 months is that really beginning with that tournament I just described to you, there's been an increase in the public conversation around what this means for the gaming community. And you're starting to see the first kind of glimmers of calls for change from gamers, some movement from some game manufacturers, and certainly an increasing awareness among gamers themselves that this is a problem that needs to come out from the dark of anonymous play and to be something that's really dealt with as a serious issue.
What's the culture, Amy, of game players? Do they, you know, is it a kind of a subculture?
Well, you know, gaming has really become a true mass medium, and I think it would be difficult to say there's any one culture for video games. I mean, there are a wide variety of genres, each with their own kind of practices and rules and regulations. And so, you know, it's difficult to say there's just one kind of culture. But the women I talk to who play games and experience harassment online say that the more difficult and aggressive communities where they feel the least welcome tend to be the most competitive games and the games that are most aggressive and violent in and of themselves. So things like fighting games or first-person shooter games. And that's where more of it is experienced than, say, in a strategy game where there's less kind of aggressive competitive activity.
Well, one of the big questions we have here is how prevalent this experience of harassment is for women who do play games. And Victoria is on the line now from Cincinnati, Ohio. Thanks for calling us, Victoria. What's your experience?
I completely agree with everything that, you know, your guest has been saying. My husband and I play a lot of video games together, and I've actually gotten to the point where I don't use the headset unless we're in, like, a private chat, because it just becomes disgusting, like, the things that the guys say. Like, once they're like, oh, my God, it's a girl that's talking, I just become a target, and it's just really disappointing. Because normally you're playing with, like, younger 18-year-old guys, and it's just appalling. It's just out of control, I think.
And, Victoria, do you think it's mostly the younger men that are guilty of this?
You know, no, I would say across the board, it's everyone. It's older gentleman voices, and it's younger voices. It's just all the time. Like, as soon as you put your headset in and you try to talk, and you're not even trash talking, you're just, you know, I'm going to get this, or I'm doing this, and trying to be a teammate, and it's a girl, and it's just out of control, and I'm really glad that there's a conversation about it.
Well, thank you for calling us, Victoria, and sharing your own experience with harassment online. Amy, are there a lot of, I mean, you've found that this is actually, there are many incidents like this. Can you describe some of the other ones?
Well, there's really two categories of incidents. Part of what's gotten this conversation is going, and there have been public incidents that have occurred online where everyone can see them. And so that's things like this tournament that I was describing before, where there's real video where you can really put a face and a name to what that harassment looks like. But the much more common story for women gaming is when they go online and experience it privately. There is a really interesting blog called Fat, Ugly, or Slutty, which women gamers have put together themselves, to where every time they receive a threatening message or a come on, they record it either in audio or they screenshot the message, and they put it all on this blog to catalog the kinds of regular kind of microaggressions that accumulate for women gamers that lead some to stop gaming altogether.
And was this the Kickstarter project?
Well, that's a separate incident, and this is the one that got the most attention. So a woman, a feminist media critic, Anita Sarkeesian, she launched a Kickstarter campaign to raise $6,000 for a series of videos that would explore how women are portrayed in video games. Immediately, though, she received a torrent of hate-filled messages on her Facebook page, on her YouTube page, and it got pretty aggressive. And what was so unusual about Anita was she took the step of documenting this harassment, recording it, and putting it back online, which did two things. One, her supporters ended up donating more than $150,000 beyond what she asked for to support her once she faced this harassment. But then another wave of really aggressive, you know, violent personal threats. Her accounts were attempted to be hacked. And one man in Ontario took the step of making an online video game where you could punch Anita's image on the screen, and if you punched it multiple times, bruises and cuts would appear on her image. And that's a pretty shocking thing for people to see, that that's the level of kind of hatred and response that's out there.
That's really horrifying. Are there any tools that are being built into these games so that women can report abuse, or anyone who feels that they're being abused online? And what happens if somebody is reported?
Well, there are certainly reporting tools in place today, but many gamers say that they feel like it's kind of like that crosswalk button you hit when you're trying to cross the street. They feel like they hit this report button, and it's just there to make them feel better and not really to do anything. But I talked with a man named Stephen Toulouse, who was the former head of enforcement at Microsoft for Xbox Live, which is the biggest online gaming community. And he said that that report button really does make a difference. And so, first of all, gamers should understand the tools they have to control their experience. They can mute players who are aggressive. They should report players who are aggressive. But right now you're seeing yet another call from people in the industry who are looking for gaming companies to do more. They want to see a couple different changes, and one of those would include automatically muting offenders. So let's say out of the, you know, one player gets muted on voice chat more than 10% above the norm. These advocates would like to see the gaming companies start that player off muted, that they don't actually get a megaphone to broadcast their hate speech, and that only people who are friends with them can hear what they have to say. So that's one idea. There are a few others, but they basically are trying, the advocates behind additional change want to see more limits on messaging, and that people have to earn the right to send messages or use the chat features, and then to see more kind of peer pressure to almost give groups of gamers scores that will reflect, you know, how comfortable and kind of safe and supportive their group of players is.
Amy O'Leary is a New York Times reporter, and her article this week in the New York Times is "In Virtual Play, Sex Harassment is All Too Real." You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go now to Jenna, who's on the line from Raleigh, North Carolina. Good afternoon, Jenna. Thanks for calling Talk of the Nation. You're on the air.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really thrilled to hear that you're talking about the subject. It is a big problem in the game community. But I just wanted to point out, not only is it a problem with men, it's also a problem with some women as well. A lot of times when you end up gaming with other women, there's instances where, you know, they start to attack you, saying that you're only doing this for attention or you don't have enough cred to be playing this game. So I feel like it goes both ways. Yes, there is a big problem with men, but there's also a problem with women in the community as well.
Have you heard any of that, Amy?
I have. You know, it certainly seems like there's a larger proportion of those kinds of statements that come from men. But there are certainly women have mentioned that, you know, in general, when you've got large anonymous communities where everyone's in a competitive environment, it's just this extension of kind of the trash-talking culture, which can get quite personal, and it's sometimes really aggressive.
Well, thanks for the call, Jenna. And let's go now to Edwina, who's on the line from Cincinnati, Ohio. Good afternoon, Edwina. Thanks for calling us.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
And your experience, are you a gamer?
Yes, I am a gamer. I do game online. I do agree with the last caller. It goes both ways. It's with the men and the women. However, there can be guys that when you do come online and they do hear your voice or overexcited, or they make comments because they hear your voice, but that's not the overwhelming or overall response that I get. And I get a lot with guys, but I generally don't have a problem with them. Either I feel they're going to be respectful, or I just won't talk to them, or if I'm in a game where I don't have to play with them, if they're not respectful, I can always go find other people to play with who will be respectful. So that's normally what I do.
And do you use that report button that Amy was referring to?
No, I don't, because I do have a respect for people's free speech, but I know I don't have to stay there and tolerate it, so I don't see a need to report them. I just leave if I feel it's something that I'm not comfortable with, but I rarely come across that.
You rarely come across it. So you're,
yes.
By and large, your experience is okay, but you have experienced some harassment, but then you just leave it.
Yeah, if it's an issue for me, but normally it's not. And normally I play first-person shooters or role-playing games. normally I play with a lot of guys, but I don't generally come across that problem.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Edwina. I'm sure, Amy, that women vary a lot in their response to this and their level of tolerance.
It's true. You know, there are many women who've been gaming for a long time who just kind of let all of this roll off their back and say, you know what, this is just the internet. People are nasty and say things nobody wants to hear all the time. But I think, you know, one of the things that is left out of that conversation is that there are women who really are truly uncomfortable with this. And if they're new to gaming, they may not know how to find communities or the kinds of games that are a little bit friendlier. And they may find themselves turned off from gaming altogether. And I think as the video game industry keeps expanding and keeps increasing its footprint as a real mass medium, it's one of the things that you see the community wrestling with.
Well, gaming industry, boy, that's the right phrase, isn't it? $25 billion a year in the gaming industry. And what's been the response of the gaming industry to these allegations?
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, these are really the actions of individuals. And I don't think, you know, any of the corporate entities that you know, are involved in gaming, you know, are quick to defend that. We know that Microsoft is taking a serious look at this issue based on a series of recent incidents, and that they're looking at ways to improve their tools right now. We know that there is, you know, an increasing presence on gaming conventions where this is being discussed. There's a panel actually at the end of this month at a gaming convention in Seattle called Ending Harassment in Gaming, where people are going to examine this issue. But, you know, everyone who is talking about solutions really believes that solutions are going to come from two places. One, the community of gamers who need to stand up against harassing or intolerant behavior. And two, the companies whose job is more to provide the tools so these vast communities can police themselves than it is for them to police it on their own.
Amy O'Leary is a reporter for the New York Times, and I'm sure that your article, Amy, on sexual harassment online is an important one and getting a lot of reaction. You can find a link to it on our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Amy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Tomorrow we'll turn to Cuba, where the needs of an aging population are testing President Raul Castro. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Tom Gelton.